Chapter 13, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify to me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So God said that he wanted all the firstborn in Israel, whether it's human or animals, livestock, to be dedicated to him. 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. God delivered them by strength of hand, which means that it was his power. It wasn't Moses' ability to be a deliverer or Aaron's ability to speak well. It was God's power that did it. And they are to remember that they owe their freedom to God. Verse 4. This day came you out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. So again, when you get into the promised land, don't become so comfortable that you forget to keep this Passover and this Feast of Unleavened Bread, so that you never forget why you are there in the first place. Again, 6, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and then the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. And, you know, the devout Israelites took this command very seriously. They would search during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or right before it started, they would search every little nook and cranny in their home with a candle, looking for any speck of leaven. And they wanted to get it out of their house because they wanted to keep this command to the letter. And that is the same attitude that we Christians should have concerning sin. Search for every little speck and repent of it. Don't tolerate any of it, because again, remember, that is what leaven symbolizes, sin. One of the things that it symbolizes. 8, and you shall show your son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did to me when I came forth out of Egypt. And this is why we do this. We remember how God delivered us from a horrible life of slavery. 9, and it shall be for a sign to you upon your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand has the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, was a sign that would hopefully help them to remember what God did. God did for them what they could not do for themselves. Just like salvation today, through Jesus Christ, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we should thank him by removing all the spiritual leaven, the sin from our life, the best we possibly can. And when we fail, because we all fail, repent of it and confess it immediately and get back on track. 10. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year, every year, without exception. 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you. So God is going to, just like God did what they couldn't do and got them out of slavery in Egypt, beat up the superpower of the day to do it, God will continue to do what they are unable to do, and that is to give them a land of their own, the land that he promised, and he will do it. 12. when he does it, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the matrix. In other words, all that opens the womb, and every firstling that comes of a beast which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. And so dedicate the firstborn of animals and people to God. You know, it was a remembrance of how he spared Israel's firstborn during the first Passover down in Egypt, spared that firstborn from the death angel that destroyed all of Egypt's firstborn. 13. And every firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of men among your children shall you redeem. Now, the ass, the donkey, was a unclean beast. So God did not want that offered to him. And they had a choice. They could redeem it with a lamb. Offer it, because the lamb was a clean animal representing Jesus Christ. So you could offer that firstborn lamb in place of an unclean animal. But if you're not going to replace it with a lamb, then break that camel or break that donkey's neck, because God doesn't want it. It's unclean. And the lesson is that God does not want our human effort as a means of trying to be saved and satisfying him, because he's not saved with unclean people, just like he's not satisfied with unclean people. He cannot be satisfied by their dead works, not satisfied enough to give them salvation in response to it. And that is what the donkey represents. Unclean, sinful man. God doesn't want it. He doesn't want your efforts in order to try to get to heaven, try to be right with him. You need to be redeemed. You need to be replaced. You need a substitute offered in your place, and that would be the Lamb, and that would be the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. 14. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is this?" that you shall say to him, "By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage." When your children ask you in years to come, why do we redeem the firstborn? Or why do we offer God the firstborn all the time? Why do we do that? Well, it's because of what God did for us down in Egypt. Verse 15, and it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but the firstborn of my children I redeem. That's why we do it, to commemorate God sparing our firstborn down in Egypt and destroying the firstborn of the Egyptians in that final plague that got Pharaoh to set us free. But notice, God would not accept the offering of a firstborn human being. Human sacrifice is never God's will. It's never a part of his plan. Verse 16, and it shall be for a token upon your hand and for frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. In other words, it's a remembrance. Verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. And so instead of taking the shortcut up the Mediterranean Sea coast, God didn't let the Israelites go. He didn't lead them that way because he was afraid that they would run into, and he wasn't afraid, but the prospects of running into the Philistines and then having to be at war with them. He didn't think his people would handle that very well. So God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And he never puts us in a situation that we can't handle by his grace. And so he didn't lead them the short way. They took the long way through the wilderness. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. In other words, armed out of the land of Egypt. But they were not trained for war. And these people were slaves for centuries. And they knew how to make bricks, okay? And they knew how to pull ropes, and they knew how to build buildings and stomp in the mud pits. But they didn't know how to fight. They were not trained for war. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from here with you. So Joseph knew that God would eventually bring his people out of Egypt and take them back to the promised land, because that was God's promise. And so Joseph, believing the word of God, made the Israelites of his day promise before he died that they would take his bones, because he wanted to be buried in the promised land. And they kept their word to Joseph, even though centuries had passed. 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. It's just so neat how smart God is and how he does what is right. You know, he led the Israelites by a pillar of cloud during the daytime. That was God's presence leading them through the wilderness. During the day, it was a pillar of cloud that represented God. And that not only was something that they could easily see in the daytime, but they couldn't see at night, of course, but it would also shade them from the hot wilderness sun. So he was accomplishing two things by doing that. And in the night, it was the same thing. A cloud would not be a very good guide in the sky at night because you couldn't see it. But a pillar of fire sure would be. So it would be easier to see at night. And not only that, it would also keep them warm on the cool nights. So look at how God always has things figured out. You know, he didn't lead them in the shortcut, which is something that they probably on their own would have chosen. But he didn't do that because he knew what they didn't know. And that's that they couldn't handle war at this time. So trust that God is leading you, because he says that he is. The steps of a righteous person are ordained by God. If you know Christ, he is leading you. Trust that he is leading you in the best way, because he's smarter than you and I. And I like these little insights into God's wisdom that we see from time to time through Scripture, because it helps us to trust him in our own lives. Whether we think that the right things are happening or not, we can trust in the sovereignty of God that they are. Verse 22, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They had his leading all the time. He was there. And that should have comforted them, and that should have given them encouragement to know that God was there. That's one of the most comforting things in the world, is to know that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ as a Christian, or that he is in your presence. And no, there's no cloud, and no, there's no pillar of fire. I know that. But Jesus, we have his word, which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And which says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have that promise from Jesus. He is with us, even though we cannot see him or representation of him. And that alone should give us comfort, because we know that he loves us.